Would you do me a favor and take somebody by the hand? All over the campus, let's touch and agree as we look to the Lord in prayer.
Yes, sir.
God, our Creator, we thank you that you are the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, you're not just the beginning and the end, but we found out in our own lives that you're in control of everything in between. And for that, we are grateful. God, for the moments when we felt like giving up, for the moments when we felt like we couldn't hold on, we found in you we have the strength and have the capacity to do all things. Thank you, O God, for giving us the victory just when we felt like we had to give up. Thank you, O God, for allowing your strength to be made perfect in our weakness. God, we stand on another side of a week, grateful for all that you brought us through. God, we simply thank you this morning that last night was not our last night, but your love and your mercy and your grace kept us and called us back into this place. God, I thank you for the miracle that I hold on my left and on my right. Thank you for every mountain you've brought them over, for every valley you've carried them through. God, I thank you for the testimony of my neighbor, God, for how you've shown up strong in their life. God, I don't know what my neighbor stands in need of this week, but I squeeze their hand right now to remind them that they already are more than a conqueror. I press back into my neighbor's hands victory this morning, God, and I squeeze into my sister and my brother's hands a new focus and a new vision so that they can see beyond anything that is blocking them from seeing you. Holy Spirit, come now and send your word. If we don't hear from you, God, we won't know what to do. So God, speak right now in this place. God, you know I'm not worthy to stand and speak for you, God, but I ask you would empty me of Elijah and saturate this house with your Holy Spirit so that your children may hear from you and we may be empowered to face all that lies ahead. Send your word, O God, and move by your power. And as you move in this place, we'll be careful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Come on, loose those hands, put yours together, and make a joyful noise to the Lord, for this is the day that the Lord has made. And we've come to rejoice and to be glad in it. While you're yet celebrating, won't you help me give God thanks for the gift of our amazing pastor? Come on, even in his absence, can't we pour some love on the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley? Indeed, to him and to the leadership of this house, I'm always grateful for the privilege to stand behind this sacred desk and to speak to this amazing community of believers. All throughout the month of August, we've been in a series entitled Caring for the Gifts of God. Pastor Wesley has been walking us through the importance of caring for the amazing gifts that God blesses us with. We started at the beginning of August learning about how we should care for the gift of our resources. And last week we learned about how we should care for the gift of the environment and God's creation. This weekend our focus is on caring for the amazing gifts of the relationships that God places in our life. You can't really live a full life until you really embrace the gift of the people God has providentially connected you with. And I want to lift up a few insights out of the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the 12th chapter. If you got your Bible, I ask that you would turn there, and when you found Acts 12, if you would be so kind to meet us at the fifth verse. I believe therein God has a word for his people on today. Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 5, you find words similar to these. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. The angel tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Come down to verse 11. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." As soon as Peter realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When Peter knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. They said, "It's just his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the gate, they saw him and they were amazed. Thus far, the word of God. As you take your seats, tell your neighbor, "I wouldn't have made it without you." Wouldn't have made it without you. Beloved, all week long, this passage has captivated my attention because I believe Peter's story gives us great insight into the power of liberation. Peter is in the process of being freed from prison. And he says in that 11th verse something that is worthy of all of our attention. Peter says, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Notice that now God has not only freed him from Herod's imperial violence, God has also freed him from the expectations that the Jews had for the outcome of his life. It reminds us that liberation is always twofold. It frees me from the prison of my physical, spiritual, or emotional predicament, and it frees me from the prison of other people's expectations. God is getting me out of what I thought would destroy me, and God is getting me out of what you thought would break me. I love this, Barbara, because it means that God is invested in the totality of my release. God will break us free from peril and pessimism. God will break us free from dungeons and demonic spirits. God specializes in complete liberation because God is equally invested as rescuing you from your past as God is invested in preparing you for your future. That's why it's good for us to remember that God didn't just free you from something, God freed you for something. Freedom is a reminder that your purpose is greater than any limitation that was spoken over your life. God loves you too much to let that difficulty or their low expectations keep you from being all that you can be. God has given you too much potential to let that barrier or their lack of affirmation keep you from rising into greatness. God is freeing you from something, and God is freeing you for something. But even though the hope of freedom is so promising, we know that getting there and staying there can be a difficult process. I came today to speak to the difficult reality of deliverance, for I am convinced that the reason so many of us fail to get to freedom or walk in freedom is because we're trying to accomplish something on our own that we can only accomplish together. There are some things that you cannot achieve, and there are some places you can't survive in without community. You can't do everything on your own. Life will force you to a space where you recognize that I need the help of somebody else. In fact, I'm crazy enough to believe that God will orchestrate a difficulty just to show us how deep our need for community really is. Don't believe the hype of American individualism. It's okay to ask for help. Everybody needs somebody sometime. In fact, the writer of Ecclesiastes puts it this way. They said, "Two are better than one, for if one of them falls, they will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and has nobody to lift them up. It's a tragedy when we don't have community." And that's why, as we continue our series on caring for the gifts of God, it's good to be reminded that not only do we have to care for the gift of our resources and the gift of our environment, we also have to care for the gift of our relationships. We've got to learn to fully appreciate the people God has placed in our lives. Zoe, we've heard plenty of sermons about our haters and our enemies. But every now and then, I've got to come into church and thank God for the angels in my life. I thank God for the mentors and the prayer warriors. I thank God for my support systems and my ride or dies. I thank God for the gift of my community, because as I look back over the course of my life, I recognize that there are so many battles that I would not have survived if God hadn't providentially connected me with the right person in the right moment who had a right spirit. And now I can look back over that chapter of my life and testify with gratitude that I wouldn't have made it without you. Wouldn't have survived if you weren't by my side. I would have fallen apart if you weren't there to lift me up and teach me what love really means. I'm grateful for God and I thank God for Jesus, but I also recognize that God put some angels in my life who helped me to conquer what should have taken me out. Hear me, church, the enemy will try to trick you into thinking that you have to live life on your own. You've got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. No, the devil is a liar. God, you will need some people who will provide the strength and the resources and the motivation to get you where you need to go. God says, I want to connect you with people who will push you beyond the limits of what you thought was possible. I don't want to take long today. I just want to take the next few moments to teach about the power of community and then show you how we're working to build better community here at Alfred Street. At the opening of our text in Acts chapter 12, we find out that Peter is in trouble. But verse 5 gives us the good news. There's a church that's praying for Peter. That's all I really need in my life, is to know that when I'm going through it, there are some people who have my back. When I'm in the grips of fear, I need some people who are praying for me. When I'm expecting a negative outcome, I need some people who are believing God for a positive one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and that means that your prayers can be the difference between my despair and my hope. I need some people who are covering me in prayer. Now, I could preach for the next 4 hours on the power of prayer, but out of respect for your brunch reservations, I'll just lift up this one insight that makes these prayers so effective in Acts 12. Notice it now. Verse 5 says that the church was praying for Peter, and verse 6 says that Peter was asleep. You missed it. Verse 5 says the church was praying. Verse 6 says that Peter was asleep. Y'all, Peter is in prison. He's facing the death penalty. Most of us have stayed up all night worrying about much lesser things. Peter's got every reason to be worried and stressed out, but verse 5 says that the church was praying, and verse 6 says that Peter was asleep. I appreciate it if you pray for my job search. I appreciate it if you pray for my finances. I really appreciate it if you pray that God will send me my wife. But the prayer I really need you to pray is for my peace of mind. Before you pray for anything else, pray that I can have a good night's sleep. Peter is on the execution docket. He's facing the worst situation of his life, but he's sound asleep. My hope for every person in here is that God will send you people who pray you from stress to sleep. People who pray you from chaos to calm. People who pray you from a restless mind to a relaxed spirit. I wonder if there's anybody in here who can be honest enough to admit that I need more peace in my life. I need my bedtime back. I've been anxious and worried and unsettled, and I want to take my mind back. My family's been unsettled. My health isn't what it used to be, and I just need some peace in my life. I know that God may not fix it all overnight, but I just need some peace so I can make it through the night. Pray for my peace. Our country is in turmoil, and I need you to pray that I can keep my sanity even when our elected leaders don't respect my humanity. Pray for my peace. I just believe that when we come together and pray as a village, when we touch and agree and pray as a church, things start to get better. And before you leave today, you'll have an opportunity to get connected with some people who will pray you from stress to sleep.
In fact, I'm just going to pause right here and celebrate ahead of time the fact that you are about to get your sleep back. I think there's somebody in here who's about to get your peace back. I wish I had some folk who could shout with me that my season of tossing and turning is coming to an end. I'm not pacing the floor at 3 a.m. anymore. I rebuke anxiety attacks and panic attacks in the name of Jesus. You are going to have some beautiful sleep tonight. The problem with stress and worry is that they invite so many other voices to run around in our heads. Because now you're worried about these factors and those set of consequences and that person's opinion. But my prayer today is that you would learn to sleep like a baby. And I really mean that, because babies aren't worried about anything. Touch your neighbor, say, sleep like a baby tonight. Sleep like you know your bills are already being taken care of. Sleep like you know that God's already providing all of your needs. Sleep like you know that tomorrow's about to be a good day, even when you don't know what's on the itinerary. Sleep like a baby tonight. You need a community that can pray you from stress to sleep. And watch the second one. You need a community that can accept you after God sets you free. Jessica, I love it, because Peter has exactly what this country should be providing for every person who exits our system of mass incarceration. When Peter gets out of prison, he has a place to call home. He's got a community that cares for him, that's ready to embrace him with open arms and give him the resources he needs so that he can begin the journey of rehabilitation after a season of trauma. Here's what I need you to know, Alpha Treat. God does the work of deliverance, but the church is called to the work of rehabilitation. Too many people never experienced the full joy of deliverance because they didn't have the right community to help them get back on their feet. The reason why you need a village is because you need people and places that can embrace you after God sets you free. Because otherwise, you'll go back to the old life and the old relationships you had before your deliverance, and you'll start experiencing the same pain and the same drama and the same grief that made that situation so toxic in the first place. God doesn't break us free so we can walk back into bondage. God breaks us free so we can walk into the newness of abundant life. And if you want to break the cycle, you've got to have a community that can embrace you and help you function in your newfound freedom. So often in church, we help people to get what they need in the middle of their struggle, and we forget to give them what they need once they overcome the struggle. All of us are growing, all of us are maturing, and with that growth and maturity, we develop needs in this new season of life that didn't exist in the last chapter of our life. And what makes deliverance so difficult to maintain is because there are people around us who can't adjust to the shift that's taken place within us. And so instead of pushing you forward, they're holding you back because they only have the capacity to embrace the old you. That's why you need a community of believers who can push you forward. You need a village who can celebrate the fact that you're growing and changing. You need a village that can encourage you as you expand your horizons and launch out into new territory. You need a village that doesn't expect you to wallow in negativity, because they now know you walk in the power of the resurrection. I need somebody who can embrace me after God delivers me. I need a space that the free me can exist in. Once God delivers me, there are some friendships that won't be able to last anymore. There are some places I used to go all the time that I won't be able to enjoy anymore. There are some jobs I won't be able to take anymore, because the deliverance enlarged my dreams and renewed my self-esteem. This is why, Gerald, I need church friends even when church folk get on my nerves. I know church folk get on my nerves, but I need some believers in my life, because at least believers expect me to get better. The world will just criticize me. They'll say, oh, he's acting brand new, when I'm not acting like anything. I'm just living as a new creature in Christ. Let me help somebody. A key question for every relationship is, can you love the free me? Can you love the free me? Can you love me when I'm no longer bound by that insecurity? Can you love me when I refuse to let you talk down to me anymore? Can you love me when I'm too busy to gossip with you because I'm spending too much time pursuing my goals? Can you love me after I've gone to therapy and worked out the stuff that used to keep me broken? Or were you only attracted to the broken me because the broken me helped you to feel secure in your inadequacies? Can you love the free me? Can you love me after God delivers me? You need a community that can pray you from stress to sleep. You need a community that can accept you after God sets you free. And then don't miss the last one. You need a community that can help you believe it before you see it. Peter gets out of prison. He walks to the house where his village is praying for him, and he knocks at the gate. Here comes one of my favorite people in all the Bible. A sister by the name of Rhoda comes to the gate. She hears the knock, she hears Peter's voice, and she's so overjoyed that she immediately runs back in the house to tell everybody the good news. Now, all the jokers who are in the house who've been praying for Peter don't even take Rhoda seriously. They say, "You're out of your mind," but she keeps on insisting. She says, "Listen to me. The miracle that you've been praying for is standing right outside of the gate." Oh, God. Here's why I need community in my life, because I need people who will help me to believe God is answering my prayer before I see the answer show up. I need to be connected with some Rhodas who will stretch my faith, because if I'm praying without expectation that God will answer, I'm really just wasting my time and I'm wasting God's time. The tragedy of our modern intellectual religion is that we have cheapened the power of prayer. We pray out of ritual and habit rather than out of faith and expectation. Or we ask God for these small, menial things that are easy to deliver instead of asking God for the miracle that we really stand in need of. For too many of us, God has become the sanctified slot machine in the sky. We sit there at our stool and stick a few prayer quarters in, hoping to receive a blessing, but never really thinking that we'll hit the jackpot. Without expectation, your prayers are empty. But I hope I've got two or three folk in this building who are ready to take your prayer life back. You're ready to get your faith back. God is about to connect you with some Rhodas who will help you to believe even before you see the evidence. A Rhoda who will help you to have faith before you see the finish line. Theron, in this season of my life, I've come to realize that my best friends are the friends who stretch my faith. I'm grateful for the friends who call and text all the time. I'm grateful for the friends who've been consistent over the last 15 years. But I'm most grateful for the friends who forced me to enlarge my faith. When I was stuck in the misery of my past, it was my friends who helped me to see a better vision for my life. When I couldn't get over the pain of the breakup, it was a friend who enlarged my faith and forced me to believe that God has another. When my career started to go south and I felt like walking away, it was a friend who reminded me that your supervisor does not have the final say over your future, but there's a God in heaven who orders your steps and numbers your days. I'm grateful for the Rhodas God gave me to enlarge my faith. And I stand on the other side of all of those seasons of doubt, knowing that I wouldn't have made it without you. You know what I've discovered? Faith in isolation is nearly impossible. I can't believe by myself. I need some people who can encourage my spirit and let me know that the answer to my prayer is already on the way. Hear me, church. The value of any relationship is directly connected to the impact you have on each other's faith. I can determine whether or not this relationship is healthy by asking one simple question. Are you helping to expand my faith, or are you suffocating my faith? When we spend time together, do I start believing God for greater, or do I begin to rationalize settling for lesser? When we're in conversation, do we open new avenues of positivity, or are we recycling the same hurt and the gossip that objectifies the children of God? When I leave your presence, do I feel empowered to reach my God-given potential, or am I busy bandaging wounds and reliving trauma? What kind of impact are you having on my faith? You know who I need in my life? I need somebody who can tap me on the shoulder while I'm kneeling in prayer and say, "Get up, Elijah, it's already been answered." Don't let me wallow in it. Don't let me give up on it, but shake some faith back in my spirit and tell me to get up. Your prayer has already been answered. God already heard you. God's already working it out. God's already making a way out of no way. I wish I had some believers in Alpha Treat who could shout with me, "Get up, your prayer is already being answered." Rhoda says, "Your answer is already knocking at the gate." Now, I had to ask myself, I said, "Mike, what in the world made Rhoda's faith so strong?" And the Spirit said, "Look at verse 13, because verse 13 tells you a little bit about Rhoda." Some of our Bibles say things like she was a maid or a servant, but we all know that's just a sanitized way of saying that she was a slave. Here this woman is in this house being mistreated and subjugated by a bunch of church folk. We can barely imagine the depths of her oppression. And yet, that doesn't begin to compare to the height of her faith. This is the great paradox of faith, that those who have experienced so much despair would be able to hold so much hope in their hearts. That those who have been through so much hell would be able to imagine so much heaven. That those who have experienced so much death and violence and cruelty would be the ones who know the most about the power of the resurrection. This is why people don't understand the black church. Because after all we've been through, it doesn't make sense for us to come in here Sunday after Sunday with a smile on a face and a song in our heart. But that's the paradox of faith. That's why your neighbor doesn't understand your praise. Because after the divorce and the bankruptcy and the abuse, it doesn't make sense that you still got a hallelujah bursting up out of your spirit. But that's the paradox of faith. The people who should have the least of it actually have the most of it. I wish I had some Rhodas in the building who could lift your hands and shout with me that I still have my faith. After all that I've been through, I still have my faith. After the hell and the high water, I still have my faith. In the middle of the valley and on the rough side of the mountain, I still have my faith. And I know it's a paradox, and I know it doesn't make sense, but my Jesus told me that the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. My faith may not be logical, it may not make sense, but I know that it's real deep down in the city of my soul. In fact, my faith is so great that I can't even keep it to myself. It's so great that I've got to share with a neighbor. And you want to shake your neighbor right now and say, "Neighbor, I feel like sharing my faith. Neighbor, I feel like lending some hope. I know there's some situations that you gave up on, but God set me here next to you to remind you that He is not finished. The prayer you've been praying is already knocking at the gate." I came today to encourage somebody and let you know that everything you've been asking for is already at the gate. The prayer you've been waiting for is knocking at the gate. The breakthrough you've been begging for is knocking at the gate. And it's time to believe God for it, even when you can't see it. It's at the gate. Oh, God. This is why the Bible says that my faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I may not be able to see it yet, but I'm grateful for some neighbors who encouraged me to believe when I gave up. And now I stand here knowing that I can reach for my evidence. I may have left home a mess, but I know when I get back home, it's already gonna be better because my answer is knocking at the gate. And you ought to encourage a believer in here and say, "Get up, your prayer's already been answered. Get up, your healing is here. Get up, your victory is here. Get up, your power is here. Get up, your redemption is here. Get up, your prayer is already knocking
at the gate.
Oh, God. It's at the gate, it's at the gate. It's at the gate, it's at the gate.
I'm going to say it to you, believe it. It's at the gate, it's at the gate. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men the good things that God has in store.
It's at the gate. You need a community that can pray you from stress to sleep. You need a community that can accept you after God sets you free. And you need a community that can help you to believe it before you see it. Well, where in the world do I find a community like that? At Alpha Street, our answer is simply one word: Village.
We invite you to join us on a journey where you'll grow in faith and family. For 12 weeks, you'll gather with a village of 8 to 14 people to pray for each other, fellowship with one another, and have powerful, life-changing discussions about how you can live out the lessons from last Sunday's sermon.
It's like, you know, when you go to service and you hear the pastor say something and he's like, he's talking directly to you and you want to talk back. Well, you can do that in the village. You can actually sit with people in a small group, you can answer questions, you can bring up ideas, you can talk about the things that touched you, like, intimately. And you don't really have that ability to do it in service. You're not just gonna jump up and say, Pastor, yeah, let's talk about it. But in the village, you actually get a chance to do that. And I think it makes our church smaller, and it gives us the opportunity to actually build and bond.
The best part is Village is designed with convenience in mind. We've got villages located throughout Northern Virginia, Maryland, and all four quadrants of DC, so you can pick one in the neighborhood closest to you. You don't have to fight traffic or struggle to find a parking space to enjoy the village experience.
So we recently moved about 30 minutes away from Alpha Street, and sometimes the commute can be a little crazy. And so Village moves have allowed us to still be able to study the sermon and play a part in a smaller group atmosphere.
You can also pick the village that works best for your schedule, as we offer villages on every night of the week, Monday through Friday.
So we had a variety of different ages in our village group, and so it actually helped make the conversation really rich, and actually everybody was able to bring in their unique experience. So that helps to layer the word, and it helps to kind of define it in my life. So I really enjoyed this village.
And for our online community, we're working with Reverend Mark to get you connected in a village as well. We've got villages that meet in Philadelphia, St. Louis, and Richmond. And we also have e-villages that you can log on to from anywhere in the world via Zoom video chat.
What a wonderful concept. For the village of 10 to 12 people, everybody will know your name. You will sharpen your walk with Christ through the word, and you'll be able to pray together through the ups and downs of life.
We don't want anyone to miss their opportunity to move from crowd to community. So log on to alphatree.org/village to sign up today.
So today, instead of our regular invitation where we invite you to walk down this aisle, our invitation today is to simply pull out your phone and go to alphatree.org/village and get connected in a group of community that will help to change your life for the better. We really believe that when you get connected in family, that is the moment that you can grow in your faith. So we invite you even now to pull out your phone. Some of y'all, you've been on your phone for the last 10 minutes. Put away Instagram and go to alphatree.org/village. There's a group with your name on it. As you go there, you'll look and you'll see all the areas that we have villages available across the DMV and even beyond the DMV. If you notice that the village groups in your neighborhood are filling up, that means that God is calling you to be a village leader or a village host. God might be calling you to open up your home and invite your Alpha Street neighbors who live just around the corner from you to come in and pray during the week. Because we know that if we wait till the weekend when we get here, we might miss the best breakthrough that God has for our lives. In order to make real community happen, we've got to model what we read about in Acts chapter 12. We need some Marys and some John Marks who are willing to open up their home and invite in their neighbors and pray for a community. We really believe that lives are changed and transformed through this initiative. And hear me, church, I am believing that there's a Peter that's going to need you this fall. And there's a Rhoda that's going to need you in your life as well. And when you have those two people and a group that's connected with you, amazing things will begin to happen. Faith in isolation is impossible. But when we're connected in community, lives are changed and transformed.